This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Today's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's four more mornings of Ramadan. We'll be over. As he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he promised, it's ayyam and ma'dudat. It's just a couple of days, as life is as well. I have a few more in these mornings I'll share with you a couple of more attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And final day we'll make try and make it as practical as possible for all of us. Today I want to talk about his love and his forgiveness sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hubbuhu wa afwuhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, when you choose any of these traits, they're really easy targets. They're very simple. They're not something difficult to talk about. The Prophet ﷺ has an abundance of stories in his life. Talk about the depth and profoundness of his love ﷺ, for everyone and everything around him. And his forgiveness ﷺ as well. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصْفَحْ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. And when you forgive, forgive in the best way possible. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهَ. If you want Allah to love you, then follow me and He will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He'll forgive your sins as well. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث عند أبي داود, that a man came to him, hadith صحيح, and told him, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا. There's this brother, I love him very much. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَا هَذَا أَعْلَمْتَهُ. Did you let him know? قال لا. He said no. فقال اذهب فأعلمه. And go and let him know. فذهب إليه فقال والله إني لأحبك في الله. He went to him and he said, I love you for the sake of Allah. فقال أحبك الله الذي أحببتني له. May Allah love you, may the one that you love me for love you, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say عليه الصلاة والسلام, also in the collection of Dawood, إذا أحب الرجل أخاه فليخبره أو فليعلمه. If someone loves someone else for the sake of Allah, you should let them know. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, when you speak about his love, you cannot escape talking about Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. You can't, because she was his sweetheart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved her. The love story of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Khadija, in my opinion, is much more romantic and much more beautiful than any of the garbage that is shoveled into our high school students' brains as they read Midsummer Night's Dream or Romeo or whatever other, complete insane, pedophilistic, misogynistic, stories that are filled with lack of ethics, morality, and just disgusting mindset that allowed it to be produced. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when you read his story, and you see what he actually felt towards Khadija, and how their life actually worked together, you understand what life is. Every Hollywood movie, every romantic movie, ends with marriage. One of the silliest things ever, and when you're talking about love, you end it with marriage. Show me this couple 10 years into it, and then I'll buy the fact that they really did love each other. The concept of they stopped the love story from the point when it was supposed to start. Like, this is how messed up the concept of love has become, that we tell a story of love and we cut it off right before the moment it's supposed to begin. This is where love actually begins. You can't really love someone you don't know. When you draw an image of somebody in your heart, in your head, and you fill it with lust, and then you say, I fell in love, you love them. You don't know what you're talking about. You just love whatever image you put in your brain. Love is when you actually go to live with the person for a long time, and the two universes collide, and all of it, and you get to know them well, and they get to know you know you well, and you still love each other after that, and that's true love. The Prophet ﷺ lived with Khadija for 25 years. He had with her 6 children. 2 of them died. The stress of the death of a child on a marriage is unbearable. One of the most difficult things. A couple can barely make it through the death of one child. To get through the death of 2 children is actually very difficult to understand. But alayhi salat, and she was richer than him. She was more wealthy than he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, financially. I can barely find one example in today's world where the woman is wealthier than the man and the marriage actually survives. Very difficult. There's a lot of imbalances that exist in our society that are very problematic when we talk about marriage. I'm not going to get into marriage because I'll rant for until sunrise. But really, when you look at the Prophet ﷺ's story with Khadija, he was a few years older than him. She had 2 previous marriages. She had three children from these previous marriages, radiallahu anha. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadija lived a life of true love. She died and he continued to love her 15 years after she died, radiallahu anha. He loved her to his deathbed. He didn't love her until she died. He loved her until he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. He refused to marry for 3 years after she passed away. He wouldn't want to do it. His sister would come to him and she would say, هَلَّا يَتَزَوَّجْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he would say, وَهَلْ بَعْدَ خَدِيجَةَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. And who is going to be after Khadija? Who can I possibly bring to this house after Khadija radiallahu anha? He would marry, the first lady he would marry after her death was Sauda bin Zam'a. She was 85 years old when he married her. She was the first Armal fil Islam. She was the first lady to lose her husband for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fought and he died. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made her Ummul Mu'mineen. And all the wives that he married after. You see, you have to differentiate between Muhammad the man and Muhammad the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Muhammad the man only married Khadija. Muhammad the Prophet married many. Through the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his marriages of these women brought tribes together. The marriages that he had alayhi salatu wasalam united Arabia. You just have to go and understand whom he married, alayhi salatu wasalam, where they came from and where the backgrounds. He married a Jew and he married a Christian. And he married Safiya and he married Maria, both of them from backgrounds of the... He brought the house of Abraham together, alayhi salatu wasalam, with his marriages. He brought the tribes of Arabia that were fighting each other for decades and probably even longer. And he brought them... Marriages back in the day were still a political or a geopolitical tool that would bring people together, as it always were. Was. So the Prophet alayhi salatu, when he married these ladies, he united large parts of the country and he gave these women autonomy. These women became ummahatul mu'mineen. They were untouchable. They were untouchable politically, they were untouchable religiously. They could say whatever they wanted and no one can hold it. Aisha led an army. This is the history behind this is important. We don't talk about it because we don't like talking about the fitna that occurred. But really, if we could just wrap our heads around the fact that the fitna was a normal, it's natural for people to disagree ethically on something and then fight it out if they believe that haqq is in one direction opposing the other. But Aisha radiallahu anha had the ability to actually head an army. It has never happened before in Arabia, but she was Ummul Mu'mineen. He was able to do this. So that's a sense of, but Muhammad the man, he loved Khadija. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be lying in the house and if Hala came, Hala was her sister. And if she was coming towards the door and she was walking, her footsteps were similar to the footsteps of Khadija. So he would perk up and he would say, Allahumma Hala, Allah make it Hala because it can't be Khadija. And she's not here, so it can't be her footsteps, it has to be Hala. And then Hala would knock on the door, it would be her, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Every time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given something to the house. This is what Aisha tells us. فَلْمَا غِرْتُ مَنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ نِسَاءِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I was never jealous of any of his wives. إِلَّا امْرَأَةً كَانَ قَدْ وَرَاهَ التُّرَابِ حَمْرَاءَ الشِّدْقَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ أُولَدْ. A lady who died basically before I was even around. A lady, and she would say something about her, the way she looked. يعني حمراء الشدقين, meaning she had puffy cheeks. That's how she's describing Khadija. مَا أَتَانَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ شَيْءٍ. Nothing came to our house. إلا وأخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نصيبا. The Prophet ﷺ would take a piece. فقال هذا لصاحبات خديجة. Send this to the friends and the family of Khadija رضي الله عنها. On a way back from a battle, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he would tell them rest at a time that he wouldn't usually do so. Like usually they would only stop during certain times when the sun is in the middle of the sky, like noon. But he stopped them, يعني, close to Maghrib, which was not a time that they would stop the army, but it was close to Medina and there was nothing going on. So he told them, okay, just rest for a bit. And then he went and he kind of a little bit onto the outskirts of the army. And one of the Sahaba followed him just to see what he was doing. And he found him, he had taken off his burda alayhi salatu wasalam and put it on the ground. And three old ladies, like old ladies, were sitting there. And he was chatting with them alayhi salatu wasalam and he was laughing. And he was happy. And the man is standing there. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was done. They would get up, he would put them back on their camels, he would give them gifts and he would send them on their way. He would come back, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would come back. As he's turning around, he finds that sahabi standing there saying, what are we doing? Why did the army, who are these people? Why did we stop the whole army for, what is this? Like, what are you? وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, هؤلاء صاحبات خديجة. These are the friends of Khadija. جلسنا نتذكر معا الأيام الجميلة, أيام خديجة. We sat down to remember the good old days, the days of Khadija, رضي الله عنها وارضاها. You want to talk about love, talk about somebody who married a lady for 25 years and then loved her for the 15 years that are the rest of his life. Aisha says, she got, and Aisha gives us these stories and I'm thankful that she does. كنت أغار من خديجة فقلت يوما لرسول الله بعد أن أكثر من ذكرها. I used to be jealous of Khadija even though she was dead way before me. I was even aware. And one day the Prophet والسلام, had talked about her a little bit too much. So I يعني, got upset. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ خَدِيجَ خَدِيجَ. You keep on talking about her. فَدَلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Allah gave you a better wife than her. فَقَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ. He got upset. فَقَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ. He did not. مَا أَبْدَلَنِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. He was very serious about this. He said his face changed. Like he... Ali Salatu was saying, we'll see in a moment how he, yani, his love for Aisha. But when she said that, his face changed. He got upset. قَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا أَبْدَلَنِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. He never gave me anyone better. صَدَّقَتْنِي إِذْ كَذَبَنِيَ النَّاسِ. He believed in me when people didn't. وَأَسَتْنِي بِمَالِيهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِيَ النَّاسِ. She gave me her wealth when no one did. آمَنَتْ بِي إِذْ كَفَرَ بِيَ النَّاسِ. She accepted my da'wah when people didn't. ورزقني الله منها الولد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me, يعني, I have children from her. وتقول عائشة فلما رأيت غضبه, when I saw how upset he became, ما عدت لذلك قط. I never talked about Khadija again. I just let, if he wants to talk about her, he's welcome to do so. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you want love, that's love. That is true love. And someone will continue to reminisce upon their partner 15 years after they pass away. Continue to remember them, even though they lived with him for 25 years. Yeah, I mean, that's very rare these days, if you want to be fully honest. But it is what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught, and I think it's something worthy of getting contemplating. He loved Aisha عليه الصلاة والسلام. I love the wording that Al-Qadi has in the Shifa. يقول كان يظن كل واحد من أصحاب رسول الله أنه أحب الناس إلى رسول الله. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sahabi of the Prophet felt that he was the most beloved person to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You understand that effect? Meaning, he made everybody feel that he loved them the most. This is very hard. This is very difficult. The people around him felt that he must love me differently than everyone else. All the sahaba felt that there was something special and the Prophet alayhi salam loved them a little bit more. So Amr ibn al-As tells us this. He says, and the hadith is in Bukhari and the longer version in the collection of Imam Ahmad. He says, أَرْسَلَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فِي غَزْوَةِ أَوْ فِي سَرِيَّةِ ذَاتِ السَّلَاسِلِ. He sent me to do something. يعني on a, I had a small group, a small army. And I went and I nailed it. I did a really, really good job. And I came back in record time and I brought it. Like everything worked exactly as it was supposed to. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was very happy with me. فَجَلَسَ يُلَاطِفُنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So I'm sitting there and he's being really nice to me. He's saying all these nice things to me. I thought to myself I would, you know, give it a shot. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْكُ. Who is the most beloved person to you? فَقَالَ عَائِشَ. فَضَحِكَ الْقَوْمِ. And people started to laugh and giggle because men would not, if they're asked that question, they would never say a woman's name. Until this day, there are parts of the world where if you say the name of a person's mother, they will go after you with an axe. Yani, there are certain cultures that still have a problem with these things. So he said her name. فَضَحِكَ النَّاسِ. They laughed because they thought it was weird. فَقَالَ لَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. I mean like men. فَقَالَ أَبُوهَا. Her father then. قال ثم من فقال عمر بن الخطاب ثم عد رجالا فلما انتهى قلت انا الذي بعدهم. He kept on counting people. So every time I asked him, well, who's next? Uthman. طيب, after that, Ali. طيب, after that, Fulan. After that. And then when I was done after 20 names, like, I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm 21. I'm just, it's me. It's whoever's next, it's me. And we don't have to continue to do this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved alayhi salatu wa sallam, the sahaba. He loved Zayd ibn Haritha. He loved Zayd to the point where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would tell us that the only reason that I am a Khalifa is that Zayd passed away in Mu'tah. That's the only reason I'm standing here. It's because Zayd isn't around. If Zayd was around, it wouldn't even be a question. He was the most beloved person of the Prophet. He made it very clear, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the story that he had sent Zayd on a Sariyah as well, like to go on a mission. And he went and he took a long time. Like he was later, he came, the Prophet was getting worried. It was like a week later and Zayd hadn't come back and there was no word. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was visibly anxious. And then finally, Zayd would come back, and he would come to the house of the Prophet alayhi salam around noonish, where the Prophet alayhi salam was taking his nap. He knocks on the door. So the Prophet alayhi salam recognizes that Zayd. تقول عائشة فخرج لم يلبس قميصه. He left and he didn't wear his shirt. فما رأيت رسول الله يخرج من داره دون قميص إلا يومها. I never saw him in my life leave his room without a shirt on except that day. He opens the door. فقال يا زيد تأخرت علينا. You were late, يا زيد. What took you so long? Why? What happened? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was called Hibbu Rasulillah. That's what the name of Zayd. The beloved one to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And his son Usama was called Al-Hibbu ibn al-Hibb, the beloved son of the beloved. Usama was the one that people went to if they wanted someone to say something to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that no one would dare say. Because Usama could say anything. Usama could come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and say anything, and the Prophet, even if he got upset, he still loved Usama too much, so it wouldn't be a problem. So people would come to Usama and ask him, can you ask him about this? Can you see if maybe he'll intercede on behalf of Fulan? So Usama would go and say, because he was a kid, he would say, Ya Rasulullah, this, and even if the Prophet ﷺ didn't like it, he was safe because he was the most beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. One of the Sahaba I love the most. I love them the most because of these hadith that exist for him. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu wa Allah. And the reason is because really, when I thought about it, because I couldn't figure out, like, I loved him since I was a kid. I could never figure out exactly what was it about him. But then what I found was these ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ would go out of his way to talk to Mu'adh and take him by the hand and say, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk, I love you. فَيَقُولُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And I would think about that. I mean, what would go through the mind of Mu'adh when the Prophet ﷺ tells you, I love you? And I can't imagine what must have went through his mind, radiallahu anhu, as the Prophet ﷺ takes his hand and he tells him, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk, I love you. So Mu'adh would say, Ya Rasulullah, wa ana uhibbuk, and I love you too. And then he would give him a piece of advice, or he would tell him something, or teach him something. And the value of the Prophet ﷺ doing something like that, and how uncommon it is when you think about it. Like, if you're from the Middle East or anywhere around, how common is it for a 55-year-old man to tell someone they understand what I'm trying to say? How many people do you know do anything like that? Forget about to a random Sahabi, to a person. They don't tell that to their wives or their children. Like, it's something that they just, it's understood. Like, you don't need to say. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he wasn't like that. Like, emotionally, he was someone very open. He had an open heart. He would just come and say it. Ya Mu'adh, I love you. And Mu'adh would, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, overwhelmed with listening to something that's very hard. Then we give him advice, Ya Mu'adh, atad'an an taqula dubara kulli salatin, Allahumma anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Say this after every prayer, Ya Mu'adh, it's a good advice for you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, the examples of his love, alayhi wa sallam, are many. One of the stories I find to be very moving, he loved his family, he loved Fatima. Everyone knew how much he loved Fatima. It was a known thing. And أحب الناس إليه كمن أهله فاطمة. I mean, the person he loved the most in the world was Fatima رضي الله عنها عليه السلام الزهراء. And in a story once regarding one of his daughters, Zainab had a son. His name was Abdullah. And I told you, Zainab had two, Umama and Abdullah, and Abdullah passed away. And this is the story of what actually happened. The hadith is in a collection of Muslim and others as well, where the Prophet ﷺ was sent, Usama bin Zayd was sent over to the Prophet ﷺ's house from Zainab's house, saying, "Inna ibnana yahtadiru fashhadna, my son is dying, come to us." So he would send Usama back with a message, making dua for this child, like making dua for Zainab and making dua for the child, that he's making dua for them. So she would send him back saying, "Uqsimu alayka an tashhadana," no, you're going to come to me. He didn't want to go, alayhi salatu wasalam. He couldn't handle it. Like, emotionally, he found it hard. Like, if there's a child dying, he didn't want to be there for it. He just didn't want to be there for the pain that was going to be seen. He didn't want to go. So he made dua and told her, I won't come for this. So his daughter sent him saying, no, you're going to come to me. I swear to God, you're going to come to me. You're not going to just send this message. You're going to come to me. فَقَامَ فَقُمْنَا مَعَهُ. So we got up, alayhi salatu wasalam, and we got up with him. فَذَهَبَ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ. He goes to her house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرَفَعُوا إِلَيْهِ الصَّبِيَّ. And they take the boy and put him in his hand. وَنَفْسُهُ تَقَعْقَعْ. And he's breathing heavily, and the kid is basically dying. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ. He begins to cry as he holds him and he makes dua. فَقَالَ سَعْدٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا هَذَا. What is this? What are you doing? فَقَالَ هَذِهِ رَحْمَةٌ يَضَعُهَا اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. This is just a compassion that Allah puts in the hearts of any of his servants. There's nothing weird about it. See, the problem with it is the lack of context. You don't understand you have to go to the Arabian desert. You have to meet people who live there. And you have to see what their tiba' or what their nature is like. You have to see how people who grow up in the middle of the desert with very little provision, with war, you have to see what they're like in terms of, their traits and personality, personalities and characteristics. And For the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to be the way I'm describing to you doesn't sound, you know, too out of the way, because we live in, but if you compare it, if you understand it within the context that he was living alayhi salatu wasalam, it was something unseen. Like people had not witnessed someone like that, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, someone who was not, who did not feel ashamed to cry, who did not feel embarrassed to tell someone he loved them, who showed love openly to his wives and to his family members and to his sahaba, who didn't hold any of that back and encouraged people to do the same and actually opened the door for them to do that, alayhi salatu wasalam. That was earth-breaking. That's his love. His forgiveness, alayhi salatu wasalam, is simple. I'll just give you a few hadith. One of the most intriguing or interesting aspects of his forgiveness is when the Jewish lady tried to poison him from Bani Qaynuqa. She tried to poison him. She actually poisoned him. She put poison in the food and he took a bite from it, but then he didn't finish because Jibreel told him to stop, so he put it down. But then the bite he took from it, the poison actually affected him. And he would say later on, the time will come where this poison will find it, and he was going to, you know, cause me to die. It's going to be my demise, is the effect of this poison. But it didn't kill him at the time, and the lady admitted that she had put poison in the food. قَالَ فَعَفَ عَنْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he forgave her, and he didn't hold her accountable, alayhi salatu wasalam. When Abu Sufyan comes to him right before Fatah Mecca, and on his way he's scared, and I've told this story many times before, and he's scared to go there because he lied to the Prophet alayhi salam to his face just maybe a month before that they didn't break the treaty. And he comes to him and he doesn't know what to say, so he asks Ali, and he says, "Ya Ali, what do I do?" But he says, "Don't worry about it, just tell him, Tallahi laqad atharaka Allahu alayna wa in kunna lakhati'in. Just recite the words in Surah Yusuf that the brothers of Yusuf told Yusuf. He will immediately answer, no problem." Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam looks for opportunities to forgive. If it's the right, this is what the Quran is for. The Quran is what it's designed for, is that you learn it so that you, when you're given an opportunity to practice it, you practice it. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is going to be put in a position similar to the position Yusuf was put with his brothers. He's going to take advantage of that immediately. Ali knows him well. Ali radiallahu anhu grew up with him, so he knows exactly how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is. So Abu Sufyan memorized the wording. Tallahi laqad atharaka Allahu alayna. He doesn't know the Quran. He's memorizing the wording. Because Ali told him, say exactly that. Don't say anything else. Just say that if you want to get the response. So he'd go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet, before he speaks, Abu Sufyan, أتيتني إلى المدينة تكذب. You came to Medina, you lied to me. تقول لي ما 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 نقضت معهدا. You told me you didn't break the treaty. وقد قتلتم يعني أنفسا في الحرم. You killed people in the middle of the haram that are my allies. Like the Prophet was very upset. So Abu Sufyan, تالله لقد أثرك الله علينا وإن كنا لخاطئين. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, without missing a beat, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. There is no hard feelings. Allah will forgive you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. On the day of Mecca, he gathers all of these people. Some of them are shaking in fear. Men and women, people who have fought him, and people who kicked him out of his home, people who killed his relatives, people who tore down his house and sold his land to someone else. People who have tried to kill him multiple times. You would ask them, what do you think I should do about you? What do you think I'm going to do with you? فَقَالُوا أَخٌ كَرِيمٌ وَابْنُ أَخٍ كَرِيمٌ. You're a noble brother of ours, and you're the son of a noble brother of ours. فَقَالَ اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَاءُ. Go, I have released you. You're released. You are released is the word he used. You're released, meaning that's it. I have nothing on you anymore. There's no strings attached. You're gone. You're released from any burden or debt that you ever carry with me. I will never ask you about this again. Forget about it. I have pardoned you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. During these nights, he would tell us to say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afwan. This is the dua that you make all these nights. Oh Allah, you're the pardoner. And you love to pardon, so pardon us. And the concept of pardoning, we'll talk inshallah about in tahajjud. What I'll end with is Abdullah ibn Amr al-As, when he describes him in a beautiful hadith in Bukhari, he would say, وَلَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُو وَيَصْفَحُ. He never responds to evil with evil, ever. He never responds to badness with badness or to cruelty with cruelty. وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُو, but he pardons, وَيَصْفَحُ, and he forgives. That's how he is, alayhi salatu wasalam. One of my favorite stories is the long hadith in Bukhari. Don't worry, I won't tell you the whole thing. But the hadith is the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is on his donkey and he's going to visit certain families of the Ansar. Within their homes, he would go and he would get to know their neighborhoods and see what their needs were, and he would talk to them and bless them and make dua for them and talk to their children. So he's on his way and he goes by a majlis setting, and Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul is sitting there, and Abdullah ibn Ubay was extremely rude. the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, said extremely rude things about him, and just very rude things. Basically, get out of here. Take your donkey and the stink of your donkey and get out of here. It's basically what he told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't respond, and he took Sa'd ibn Ubadah, who's standing on the other side. فَقَالَ مَا هَذَا يَا سَعْد. Sa'd was the chief of the tribe that Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul was. So Sa'd tells him, Ya Rasulullah, this guy, كَانُوا يَعْقِدُونَ لَهُ التَّاجِ. They were making his crown before you came here. Before you came here, they were preparing his crown. They were going to make him king. He was going to become king of Yathrib. Yathrib was going to be a small kingdom, and it was going to have a king. And he was being prepared to become the king. And then you came. And then you came, and everything was changed. He wasn't the king anymore. They threw away the crown, and now you're the leader. Ya Rasulullah, fi nafsihi min hadha shay, he's going to have yani hard feelings about it. Fa'fu anhu, Ya Rasulullah. So forgive him, Ya Rasulullah, pardon him. فَقَالَ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. I pardon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's like, he's so quick to it. You know what I mean? Like, he's so quick to forgive. Like, he just needs, doesn't really need anything, but it takes nothing. Like, it's not a process with him, alayhi sallam. You don't have to spend time convincing him and urging him and trying to, no. It's ready, it's right there. Just talk about it, just bring it up. Just point it out, and it's already there. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the examples are, you know, are endless, and I'll end with that. Subhanallah, bihamdik, shirma, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Hada wa habibukum, sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli wa sallim, mubarak ala sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan.